Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about encouraging individual play. And for that, I have brought on my dear friend and nanny extraordinaire, Katie Leineke. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Martha.
It's so nice to have you.
Hello, listeners,
yes,
too, as well.
Yes, hello, all of you at home, in your cars, at your nanny homes, wherever you may be, the grocery store. I always listen to the episodes because I want to make sure that they went up correctly.
Yeah.
But one time I pulled my headphones out as I was in the checkout line for the grocery store. And given they don't really know what my voice sounds like, they don't know what I was listening to.
Sure.
But it's very embarrassing to listen to your own podcast.
Oh, yeah. Like, check me out. I'm listening to myself.
Oh, yeah. I got this podcast. So I was like, turn off.
Yeah. Please stop.
Anyway, that's my embarrassing story for the episode. But Katie, it's so nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Before we get into the meat of the episode, talking about individual play and how to encourage individual play and why it's important, let's hear a little bit about your background.
I am a nanny / preschool teacher. Mm-hmm. I have a certificate in early childhood education, and I have been nannying for over 6 years now.
Yep. So lots of experience and then lots of academic.
Yes. And specifically for playing alone, I have nannied the past 3 years. I have nannied 2 of the years totally full time. And this last year, 50 hours a week during the summer because she's in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And like 27 hours during the week during the school year. For
and
an, she only,
is an
child.
Only child.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm getting there. I'm
on
so
my
sorry.
Way.
No, you're
I'm
fine.
So sorry.
I realized too. I was like, what was I saying?
I was just like, this sentence is getting so long.
It is.
But I,
that's
but
how I live
it.
My life.
And I am personally an only child.
Yeah.
So this is something that I
familiar with.
I am familiar with from the child's point of view, for sure. And it was something that I was good at.
Good. Not all only children are very good at that.
No, but yeah. I think it was because my parents went out of their way to help me learn how to play by
myself. Absolutely.
And so yes, that is what we as nannies also.
Well, we were working on it.
Yes. And I think part of the issue with nannies and encouraging individual play is that a lot of times we feel like we're not doing our job if the kids are playing by themselves and we're not involved.
Exactly.
But I am here to tell you, take that piece of guilt away from yourself. You are doing your job by teaching them how to entertain themselves.
I actually had the parents of the family I nanny for now. They were like, could you play with her less?
Right.
Because it's like an unsustainable thing for us. They were like, we understand why you play with her so much. And we love that you're so engaged with her. It's one of the things we love about you. But also we have a hard time on the weekends and we're getting a little kickback from the child because it's different from how you guys are.
Right.
And I was like, thank you for telling me. She was like, yeah, we talked about it. And I was like, well, we literally pay her to be here with our child. So she probably feels like she can't not right. engage. And I was like, well, I do sometimes feel really guilty if, and it's hard with an only because they want someone to play with.
Right.
And that's very challenging. So finding a balance between playing with the child so the child doesn't feel neglected, so you don't feel bad, and also encouraging them to take time by themselves. Mm-hmm. So important.
It is. It is. And it's also important to consider the child's own mm-hmm. like inner rhythms and mm-hmm. needs. I am an extremely extroverted person. Mm-hmm. And so lots of play dates mm-hmm. helped me learn how to, you know, create these fantasy worlds that then yeah. I could bring home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the characters were already created
right.
in conjunction with other kids.
Yeah.
And so then I could just keep that story going.
Like a collaborative process.
Exactly. Yeah. And then pets for me were also.
Like little playmates.
I had a pet rat growing up named Nicodemus, and he would ride in my Barbie car. He was my Barbie chauffeur.
They're super smart, actually, friends.
They are. And I would set up mazes for him. We would like practice. And so that was a way that I could, you know, learn to individually play, mm-hmm. but with
something else. It's like a training wheel sort of thing.
Yeah, it was.
I was youngest of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And we would play a lot. And then when my sisters went to school, it was like really challenging for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also remember, I swear I married my teddy bear just 100 million times. And I probably killed my own whole tree in doing it because I would decorate myself in toilet paper.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously I'm getting married.
Right.
So why would you not do that?
And, gotta be dressed in white.
Poor George. I married him so many times. He was like a huge teddy bear. But nice. We used to play that way as sisters,
mm-hmm.
and they would always marry me off because I was the youngest, so they could make me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they went to school, I continued to do that. So
right.
it's interesting to see what you can learn from group play and take it back to individualize it.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting to consider birth order
mm-hmm.
because the younger children of families that I have nannied for struggle with it a lot more.
Yeah.
In fact, Leah Friars, who's been on the podcast, she and I took both of our younger children mm-hmm. on a play date because the older kids were in camp. And watching them try to figure out with no kids telling them what to do.
Oh, yeah. What do we do?
They were like at the playground like, And they eventually found it,
yeah.
but it took them a while.
Yeah, and it's hard to...
A whole snack time.
Because if kids are... that's a long time.
I know.
If kids are punished with alone time, mm-hmm. if that's a punishment for them, it can be really hard to rewrite that script of like, hey, you're not being punished. It's just good to learn to play alone because...
Right.
We're all alone quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's harder for kids, too, because they're not legally allowed to be alone until they're 12.
Right.
Really, really alone, at least by the state of Illinois. If you're in Illinois, perhaps
interesting.
It's
different. I did not know that.
They're not allowed to be left at home alone until they're 12, legally. So you can be held liable
right.
if something happens to your child.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, there you go. Facts. Friends.
Look it
at
up
least
in
I think
your
that's
state.
A fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what they taught me
at
least 2 years ago.
Because I'm sure that's different
yeah.
state to state.
Oh, yeah, it is. Some states you can be 8 and home alone. So.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I've never thought about
but
that.
But they don't often get a chance to be alone.
Yeah.
So it's important to create space for that in their day, even when you're with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great life skill to have to amuse yourself. It goes in tandem with the I'm bored
right.
idea. And
yeah, which was a few weeks ago. But if this is something that you want to work on with your nanny kids, go listen to that episode as well.
I always say, I'm like, if you're bored, like your brain's not turned on.
Right.
So turn on your brain. You can create a story in your brain. You can start listening to like whoever's talking.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find something to do because guess what? You're in charge of your own fun. That's something we say at the house I nanny for a lot. Like,
mm-hmm.
who's in charge of making your own fun? I am. Yes, that's true.
Yes.
I'm not responsible for amusing you,
right.
but I am here to play with you sometimes. And we sometimes play by ourselves and we sometimes sit next to each other and play different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a learning curve for sure.
Yes. But a really important one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about why it's important to teach children to play alone. We just covered that, but some like very it, yeah. specifically.
But, a lot of times too, it's good to have ownership. So if you can give your kids a quiet time during the day, mm-hmm. or like we take play alone time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's working on being able to amuse herself. It's just something that she doesn't feel like she knows what to do in moments where someone can't immediately play with her. So that's something that her parents and I have agreed to do. Every day she takes 30 to 45 minutes of play alone time, uh-huh. and we set a timer and she chooses something to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for them to take ownership, to learn to make a plan. It's good for them to learn that they have power over their life and that right. they can fix, you know, like you get to choose whatever you want to do during this time if it's safe to do.
Right.
And you don't have to negotiate with anybody. It's your own time, which mm-hmm. is really special. It encourages imagination.
Yes.
Which is super important because you can be creative even if you're not playing dramatic play by like with other people. You can play it by yourself. You can draw. You can decide, I'm going to read a book and redesign a book cover. Although I will say, because the little one that I'm with loves to read,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll do that in place of playing.
Right.
And so we're like, what we really need you to do, or she'll be like, I'm going to listen to a book on tape, which is like, that's cool, but that's still somebody else amusing you.
Right.
So you can have it on in the background, but you need to be like building with blocks or Legos or
coloring,
doodling or yeah. Exactly. And so I need you to work on engaging your brain in that way or doing Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for them to learn that they have ownership over the outcome of their experience.
Yes.
And guess what? Your life is full of waiting, friends.
Yep.
DMV, like you're going to be there. And if your brain finds something to do, you're going to have a much more satisfying experience all the time. If yes. you can learn to engage in something during those moments of waiting, whether it's telling yourself a story in your head, wondering about the person at the table next to you, playing Sudoku, whatever it is you do.
Doing your times tables.
Yeah, whatever. Just amuse yourself because you're going to need that skill.
Yes.
Whether it's a long car trip or a boring meeting that you need to amuse yourself during at work.
That meme quietly. That's like grieving the fact that this meeting could have been an email.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes. But although many nannies don't experience that.
No, they don't.
But you're going to have times where you're not super invested in whatever's happening around you, mm-hmm. which sometimes is totally fine. Like
right.
kids at the dinner table, if the grownups are talking and you want to think up a story in your brain or do some kind of coloring at the table next to you, many grownups are okay with that if you mm-hmm. can use your manners and be polite. So we're just working on that aspect.
Right.
And it sort of goes back to boundaries too, of like, you take responsibility for yourself.
Right.
And this is a time where you are responsible for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really important skill. I think many people don't have it.
And
I've dated people before who don't have the skill of accepting that they're responsible for their own life and fun.
Yes.
And that's hard.
And in this age in particular, when you can have 40 different games on your phone to play. And I know I'm guilty of this. If I, like at the DMV, you know, I was playing a game for much of it until I ran out of lives in the game. And then I had to switch over to something that I do. And I have taught nanny kids this before, is make up stories for people around me. So why are they here? What are they going to do after this?
Or daydreaming even is a good thing to do. It's so fun.
It really, really is. And so just to reiterate, nannies, teaching them individual play is not something that you should feel guilty over.
Right.
In fact, you should celebrate.
Right.
The fact that your nanny kids can play on their own and that they're taking responsibility for their own fun. And it's something that takes work and a while to be able to teach them. And there are certainly children that are naturally inclined to playing by themselves. Yeah. But there are also ones that are not, that it's a real struggle. Yeah.
It also is a good skill to have to learn separateness versus togetherness and mm-hmm. to not be overly fused with whatever the important relationship is in your life. So they talk about fusion and differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
And fusion is when you sort of take on the response, like you guys are the same. You right. take on the responsibilities and the likes and the feelings of the other person in the mm-hmm. relationship. And it's hard to tell who's who.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to ease separation anxiety from one or both partners' point of view.
Right.
And differentiation is kind of the opposite of that. And it's like a healthier place where you can be together and have moments of intense closeness, like while you're playing with the child, and you guys can also be apart.
Right.
And that's okay. And we'll do separate things. And we both feel secure in our love for one another over here from a distance while I'm reading and you're playing with Legos or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, or cleaning up the dishes or, you know.
Right.
It'll also give you a lot of sanity if you can teach your nanny kids to play alone.
Yes.
Just so much quiet time when you're actually working on something for their parents, which is a really, that's also what their parents want. They also want some quiet space where
right.
you guys can exist together and you don't have to be directly engaged.
Yes. And it's not moments of just the TV's on or they're listening yeah. to a book on tape. Yeah.
We don't do electronics during play alone time.
Right. So talking to them about like, no, you need to be in charge of your own yeah. fun, and just having someone read a story to you
yeah,
is
that's
not
passive fun as opposed yeah. to active fun.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. So really talking that through
yeah.
is important because I mean, there are a lot of adults that I don't think understand the difference mm-hmm. between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments when I forget the difference between those two things.
It really helps you to go forward with like, okay, it's like goal achievement too. Mm-hmm. Like I want to play with Play-Doh. What do I need to do? It helps you with your logical thinking, your ordered steps. Like first I need to go find the Play-Doh. Okay, now I need a baking sheet for playing with the Play-Doh.
Right.
What color do I want to use? You're giving them the skills that later they'll be like, hey, I think I'd like a job in advertising.
Right.
What do I need to do? You're giving them the chance to practice these skills and practice like executive functioning is what they call it. Mm-hmm. It's like processing, planning, organizing, mm-hmm. and then like following through in the steps in the correct order,
right.
Which is super important, as you know, because you've survived this long to be listening to this podcast.
Right.
But it's good to give them that skill set in smaller things like play. That's how they practice being an adult in real life. And they're going to apply these skills later to bigger things.
Right.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. That's so great because it just, it's a win-win all around.
It is. It is. And you get your sanity of being like, I can do the dishes without answering 59 questions about everything you've ever wanted
right.
to know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's been my summer.
Yes. Yeah. We had a moment the other day where the girly nanny for, she was like, how come like my parents make so much money? And I was like, well, like we don't know exactly what they make, but they do a job that society thinks is really important. But sometimes society is confused and teaching.
Right.
She was like asking about that. She was like, why does society value that? And I was like, oh, well, maybe because of education, you have more like, you have to get a higher degree sometimes. And she's like, what's a degree? And I was like, oh my gosh, we're spiraling out of control.
Oh man, that happens to me all the time.
Quickly escalating and you're like, oh no, I've gotten too far. I'd like to go back.
Yep. And my nanny kids don't let me get away with, don't know.
Yeah.
They say, well, what do you think?
Yeah. We
which
try
I
to
love.
Explain
I
in different ways. Yeah.
That they like, that they push you on it, but I also sometimes I'm like, I really don't know. And
so let's look it up maybe.
Yeah. But if I'm doing the dishes, I don't
like,
have time to look it up right now.
And then they're like, I'll just ask Siri. And you're like, please don't.
Please don't.
Because I want to monitor what it says to you first.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So yes. Having moments, brain breaks, which we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah, boundaries.
Yes. Of saying like, I need a brain break.
Yeah.
So I need to not.
You need to find something to do.
Yeah.
Right
you need to find something to do.
Yeah.
That is not asking me questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I have found. So we've started this play a long time, maybe like 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
4 weeks ago. And we're at the point now, like it's still they don't always do it on the weekends, so there's mm-hmm. still a little bit of resistance there, but we do it every day.
Right.
Like sometimes we run out of time for it, but infrequently, usually we just take less.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that in moments where I am doing things like the clean, because I do the dishes, I clean up the counters, I spray them down every day.
Mm-hmm.
I wipe down their table and their stove. Like we do, like there's like maintenance. I take out the
right.
trash. in the moments where I'm doing that or like folding their laundry or whatever it is, she has started to go and play with blocks. I'm like, this is the best. It maybe just happened last week.
Nice.
Where all of a sudden I'm like cleaning the counters and I was like, I have to just clean up after lunch and then we can go upstairs and read because we have a scheduled reading time after lunch. And she's like, okay. And like, she'll just pull out the blocks now. And I'm like, what is happening?
This is never. Great.
Yeah. Cause she'll be like, can you roll the ball to me while you do the dishes and clean up? Like, can you also do that? And I'm like, no, I can. I don't really want to.
I'm not the cat in the hat.
Yeah.
Or for younger kids, what I will often say is I will say, I'm not an octopus.
Mm.
I've only got these two arms.
It's a good one. I'll steal that from you.
Yeah. It actually came from a friend of mine's brother used to scream that at her.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then it became a friendship thing of of her saying jokingly, I'm not an octopus.
Yeah.
And then because she directed a show I was in. And
I always tell kids too. I'm like, look at my hands.
Yep.
Do you see what they're doing? They're busy right now.
Yep.
I can't do what you also want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I can in a few minutes when my hands are done.
Yes.
That usually helps.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So when you are encouraging individual play, we talked a few weeks ago about in the boredom jar.
Right.
Which I think.
Such a great episode.
Thank you. But I think that that is helpful when starting the journey towards individual play because it is a jar that they can pick something out of if they feel a little lost.
Yeah.
Because it is a skill that you have to practice.
Yeah.
And so coming up with those ideas together, I think is really important if they're old enough to do that.
Yeah.
And if they're not old enough to talk it through with you, maybe they're not old enough.
Well, you can also do pictures too so they can see.
Yes. And so then, coming up with things that they can do by themselves.
Yeah.
Or if you do have siblings, things that they can do together that don't involve you.
Yeah.
So like child play instead of.
You mentioned on the boredom podcast that there was a nanny out there who did yellow and blue for the different siblings and green for things they could do together.
Yes.
And I thought that was so clever, not only because it's color mixing.
Right.
Good for you, nanny. but also because it gives them a chance to choose to play together or to play alone.
Right. And they can, just pick their
and
color.
It's appropriate skill levels. So, I think that's very clever. Shout out to you, nanny.
Yes. I'm sorry that I don't know who it was. It got lost in the.
That's okay. You know who you are.
You know who you are. And thank you.
Feel free to tell us.
Yeah.
Comment
feel free,
on this episode that that's
comment
your idea.
On this episode or email into Chronicles of Nannia and I will totally give you a shout out. But yes. And so encouraging them, like practicing.
Yeah.
Or setting them up for success.
Yeah. We took it a step further than that, too, because we had a play-alone jar.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about it, and she would just sort of stick to the same two things.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? After I listened to the boredom episode, I was like, I'm going to make her a boredom box.
Ooh, okay.
And so I went out and got, like, a somewhat large Rubbermaid tub and, like, a smaller Rubbermaid tub. And I was like, I'm going to put many of the things that we said she could do in these boxes. And one is small enough to travel with them when they go out of town.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is like larger and it can hold more of her activities. And so I made these boxes and I put like the Play-Doh and I put like tiara making kits. And she's got like a headband making kit and she's got beading stuff. And we have a couple of puzzles that she uses, like a flexible puzzle where it's like a several blocks on a string. They're sometimes used as fidget toys for teachers.
Yeah.
But they have like puzzles that you can try to make it match. And she's got like all these cool magnet tiles. And I was like, I'm just going to put it all in the box after I heard your thing. Cause I think she sometimes struggles to either locate them or like she's used to the same thing, but now she can just go to the box. And I was thinking, cause her parents are really working on this.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she tells me she's bored now, I'm going to say, okay, you can choose something from the boredom box or I can give you a chore to do.
Yeah.
Like, what would you, because you mentioned that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what would you like to do?
Yeah.
So, and so they can choose, do they want to be helpful around the house or do they want to like choose to amuse themselves?
Right.
Is it safer to do a chore or to play by yourself? Hard to say.
And each day is different.
Yeah, exactly. And I told her mom, because I was like, I just listened to Martha, because my nanny mom knows Martha. Uh-huh. It's like, Martha's podcast today was Boredom Busters. And she was like, oh, man. And I told her that, the idea. And she was like, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. And yes. The little girl, surprisingly, because I said it in front of her mom, too. Mm-hmm. And she was like, ooh, like what kind of chores? Like she was kind of excited because we had put on that boredom jar, the previous one, the play alone ideas we talked about. Uh-huh. Like she could clean her room if she wanted to or something like that. It's a really interesting idea, but having it all in one place seemed to be very helpful in the past week since that's come out. So,
because that is something that when kids that I nanny are playing by themselves, but they can't find a toy, then that becomes, and then, you know, I have to get involved.
And sometimes they're inspired by seeing it. Me too. Right. Sometimes I forget that I have something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this. I should play with this. I should use my Sudoku book. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at you.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, encouraging them by just having it in a way that is easily accessible.
Yeah. Setting them up for success in that way is really important.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
I came from you. It was inspired by your podcast, you guys.
Okay, it was inspired by me, but that
I just took it a hop and a skip further.
Yeah, but what a great way. And I love the smaller one for when they travel.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
They have
as
a little
well.
Like a lake house sort of thing. That's it's not theirs; it's one of their parents. But they go there often for like little family weekends,
right?
And so, and that's hard for them because there's so much unstructured time,
right?
And they have to still work sometimes from up there. And so I was like, I just feel like. That they need one of those. And so I made one for traveling too. And it was like, and she can use it in the car. Like these are things she can play with in the car.
Right.
As opposed to just looking at the iPad.
Yes. And I will say the Target dollar section has a lot of like the magnet boards or the like little felt books things like that for younger kids.
So does the dollar store. Dollar store is a magical place, friends.
It really is.
Yeah.
And just get on Pinterest and look at all the cool stuff that you can do from the dollar store because it's amazing.
Have you seen the, there's like a little Lego car thing and it's like a pencil box, a hard pencil box.
What?
And you open it up and you glue down a little Lego board and then you keep Legos in it.
Yes.
So you can have the Lego board on the top and then when you flip it open, it's like a flat surface and you can put your Legos, you can build something on it in the car on your lap.
Oh my gosh.
And it's all contained and then you like take it apart and close it up and it's
what a great idea.
That's a Pinterest one. I can't take credit for that.
But still, that's
it was awesome.
Yeah. Birthdays are coming up. We'll see.
Maybe I'll get that for you, even though your birthday just happened. That'd be a good gift for you.
For my nanny.
No, I'm thinking for you.
I mean, I would love that.
She's got Legos on her dining room table.
I do. Yeah. I do. And kind of all around us. I've hidden them places.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little scavenger.
Star Wars Legos up in here.
Yeah, Ray.
And you got the Lego tool over there.
And I have the Lego tool, which is key. Especially for little kids.
Oh, yeah, you have so many Legos in here.
Mm-hmm. I love Legos.
I know you do.
As you can hear in the Lego episode.
Yes, which was also fun.
And then also the Lego highlight where I then researched more.
Learned a lot about Legos and wheels.
Yeah, there's more Lego tires in the world than there are regular size tires.
I shared that with everyone. I came across that following week.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah.
That astonishes a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense, though.
It does.
Yeah.
Because, there's so many Legos.
Yeah.
And there's so many to step on.
And then you feel like you're dying.
So. And then you do feel like you're dying. But anyway, so yes, encouraging individual play by setting them up for success in those ways is really key. And then I also think starting with a shorter amount of time.
Yes, ramped up.
Yeah, and ramping up into longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. Is very key.
It is. And don't feel bad when you start to ramp it up because they say, so in teaching, children need a minimum of 45 minutes to get their brain fully engaged in activity. Mm. So in fact, like many schools play outside for 45 minutes and then you need free choice time for 45 minutes because scientifically, wow, that's how long it takes for some kind of learning to occur.
Uh-huh.
So once you get, that's why sort of why we picked 45 minutes.
Right.
Once you get to that point, it's okay to let them kind of do that. And like you mentioned, floundering in their boredom is actually good for them because they find some discomfort and then they say, okay, like how am I going to amuse myself? And it helps creativity. Discontent usually is the inciting incident, like the spark for change.
Yes.
So allowing them to feel some of that and not solving the problem for them is really important.
Right. Yes. And finding that balance of when to bail them out and when to let them flounder.
Yeah.
is a struggle and something that you might mess up on. And then back to our honesty episode of saying like, you know what?
I screwed that one up.
Yeah. I bailed you out and I should have let you keep playing because I think that you were about to solve your own problem.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
and I took that chance away from you and I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry that I took that chance away from you to have that learning opportunity. Or, you know what? You actually did need my help and I wasn't available for you in the way that I should have been. And I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Let's do it right this time.
Yeah.
You know,
or
let's try again.
Yeah.
I caught myself as you so often do. So yes, I think using that as a barometer for trying to find the right amount of time and
absolutely.
But knowing that you are not a bad nanny for letting them flounder.
Right. And if you solve all your problems for your nanny kids, they're going to grow up lacking those skills to solve problems for themselves. So
exactly.
It's important to give them opportunities. And another thing too is giving them, I'm sure you've heard this a million times if you've listened to this podcast, but giving them opportunities to choose so that you don't have indecisive adults. It's very hard if you grow up your whole life and you don't have to choose. Because someone's always choosing for you. And then someone's like, hey, babe, what do you want for dinner tonight? And then they're like, I don't know. I could not tell you what I want because I'm not
used to
making choices like that affect my daily life or whatever it is.
Exactly.
So giving them a chance to practice decision-making skills is so important, which they can also do while they're floundering in their boredom.
Right.
Yes.
Because if they just want to sit there, then that's their choice for those 45 minutes. But I do think having a set amount of time and starting small and ramping up is key. And I like that idea of setting the timer.
Yeah.
So that because you as a nanny sometimes get so into the chores that you're doing that you forget.
Yeah.
So actually having something that will go off.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. If your day allows for it and the timer goes off and your nanny kid wants to keep playing by themselves.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Then
good for you.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Okay.
Nanny win.
I just wanted to check in.
We also have the amendment that you, once we set the timer, we're not going to check it. So if you want to know how close you are to being done, you look at the clock. And you can say how many minutes, like the child I nanny for can do math like that. She can do time math. And so if you want to know, you can do that. But we're not going to stop playing to check the time on the timer.
Right.
Because that's like, otherwise you're doing that every 2 minutes. And that's like, you're not really playing. You're not really engaged in the activity. And that's the whole point of playing alone is for your brain to become immersed in this other activity or world or whatever it is you're doing. If you're making a crown, good for you. Like you shouldn't, every 2 minutes, you shouldn't be like, so what time is it now? You know?
Yes.
And also it's annoying.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you every 2 minutes. Like you shouldn't have your hands on my phone every 2 minutes or whatever the timer is or, and it's more about principle because like if it was on a bigger timer, I'd still want her to be focused engaged on what she's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And really talking through why that's important.
Yeah.
I'm always one for explaining things. I explain things to the point that my nanny kids now sometimes are like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. You're like, great. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
But, explaining why you are doing things, and making that really open yeah. communication about yeah. like, this is why, because your brain takes a while yeah. to become engaged. And yeah. Once you're engaged, if you're constantly going out to yeah. to check the time, then that's,
you have less ideas and yeah. less. Yeah. Yeah.
Then your brain isn't working at the level that I know that it can.
Right. Right.
And so, yeah. So explaining that to them,
yeah,
I think is really important.
And you could also say too, like, it's hard for me while I'm doing this thing for your mom and dad to constantly stop. Like, I have a really hard time with it. It's not that you're annoying. It's just right. that I'm bothered that I have to stop what I'm doing to check something, you know, continually. Right. I love you. I understand the desire to know what time it is. How can we have you meet your own need here?
Right.
For the timing.
Like, yes.
Let's find a way to both win. Mm-hmm. So if you need to know, if it helps you, and like, and again, explaining why you don't want them to necessarily be involved in the time, I think is a really good tool to be mm-hmm. like, well, your brain is so much more powerful if you're not thinking about the time, if you're using it just to think about what you're doing.
Right.
And I think that's a lovely idea too. And like, cause you don't want your children to grow up to be people who constantly like, are like, when can I be done? When can I be done? When can I be done?
Right.
Although I do that when I'm marathon training.
Yeah.
And some days I'm pretty good. And some days I'm like, oh my goodness, I've only run for like an hour and 2 minutes.
Oh, but
why do I have to keep going?
Yeah.
45 more minutes. So like, I can relate to that. Like, the struggle is real.
Right.
But it goes by faster and quicker if your brain is fully engaged.
Exactly.
And you're not constantly checking the time. Then you're like, oh, look at that. I'm nearly done. Yeah.
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 That's so true. What else you got? Is there any?
Yeah. I think that sometimes you can, if the child is struggling and they do need assistance, you can do like a drive-by play inspiration where you're like, mm-hmm. oh man, that looks like it's a airport. Wow. And then like, you can like drop these little hints if they need it.
Mm-hmm. Which I think coming from a place of curiosity, mm-hmm. like teaching them to be curious about things
yeah.
and investigate it on their own.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen at an yes. airport, a Lego airport.
Right.
Or like whatever it is. So you can give them little tidbits without really being involved.
Mm-hmm.
I would also specify, like, the little girl I nanny for when we started play a long time, she kept calling it silent playtime. And I was like, no, girl, no. like, you can be as loud as you want. Like, it's just time for you to amuse you.
Right.
And I was like, it's not silent. Like, please stop saying that.
I don't know where you got
You're
that.
You're concerning me.
That was a problem that I had with yeah. the syntax of, so when I was in school, it was called drop everything and read.
Yeah.
And then when I taught school, it changed over to silent sustained reading, mm-hmm. which I do not understand that switch.
Yeah.
Like I get the sustained being important.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think they just want you to do it in your brain, but it makes you feel like you can't laugh or exactly. have reactions, and that takes you out of it too.
Yeah. And yeah. for me personally, with my 10th grade class that I taught, my goal was by the end of the year that each of them would have one book that they enjoyed.
Oh, that's so nice.
And so I use that, and I was like, we're calling it drop everything and reading yeah. here, because
forget the school.
Yeah, forget the school policy, because it fell, the silent sustained reading time yeah. fell during that class period. Yeah. And so,
well, and it sounds too serious.
Exactly.
And like, you can like,
yeah. And so, but also letting them ask questions so mm-hmm. that you can find things like yeah. that they think that they have to be silent. And
yeah.
you're like, no, no, no.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is like, I will not necessarily play, but like, if she's like, I made you a Play-Doh cookie, I'll be like, this is delicious, is there coconut in this?
Uh-huh.
And like, you do like little bits so they know it's not a punishment. You're not right. like, I can't wait to be away from you, but you're like, I'm trying to help you have a life skill. Right So giving them the opportunity to do that, but also connect with you when necessary. Sometimes we like laugh at each other when she's doing her like play alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to know that she's not totally isolated and on her own. And if she wants to make a comment,
right.
I'm going to hear it and
right.
respond to her. It's not like I'm going to ignore you for 45 minutes. It's that you primarily need to be doing this yourself.
Yes.
But I'm available to you if you yes. want to take a moment or two. However, if she does get too far into like, we're super engaged, I'll be like, do you need me to pause your play alone time? Because we're like doing whatever we're doing right now, talking, or you're like really interested in watching what I'm doing, like the cleaning. Because sometimes you're like, I just like, this is not playing.
This is you just watching me.
Yeah. And asking me questions, which is okay. But then let's pause your play alone time, because that's not what this time is about.
Right.
And usually she's like, no, don't pause it. And she'll like skip off.
Yeah.
So it's, that's another idea, is like, it's not a punishment. You don't have to play alone because I don't want to be with you. It's because I'm trying to help you have these skills. And guess what? Grownups need those skills too. And a lot of times in relationships, like, you're going to be together, but you can't be talking or doing something. So you need to amuse yourself next to that person, parallel play.
Yes.
And that's a different skill to have. And it's also really important.
And I think a way of encouraging play alone time when you're first starting out with the concept is doing parallel play with kids. I'm gonna let you, because you have the the background in early childhood education, explain what parallel play is.
So there are stages of play. And they sort of go in order. So you first have one, and then you gain the other ones. The first one is individual play, which is like the baby who's playing by themselves with whatever, and usually putting that thing in their mouth and like hitting it against things. And that's just time that children are playing individually alone. And then after that, they reach parallel play, where the two children are sitting next to each other. They can be playing similar or the same. They don't have to be. Every so often they might interact.
Right.
So I might be like, can I borrow that to Martha? And she might be like, sure. Or I might be like, it's a plane.
Right.
She might be like, cool. Mine's a spaceship. And you're like, awesome. And that's parallel play. There's also a stage called cooperative play, where they're like working together to create this like imaginary world. So if Martha and I were playing together, so instead of parallel, we're playing different things side by side. We're like, okay, you be the pilot, I'll be the astronaut. The pilot's trying to reach the astronaut. We're like creating a world,
A story together.
And there's also like games with rules, like board games and things like that. So there are several different levels of play. But parallel play, you're playing side by side, similar, possibly different games, but you're interacting every so often. So that's kind of like what she's doing in her play alone time. If she's engaging with me every few minutes to talk to me about her cookie or whatever it is that she's pretended to make. But when she's playing just by herself, she's not really engaging me. She's in her own world and doing whatever she's doing.
Which is where you want to get. But if your nanny kid is struggling with that, doing some parallel play with them, I think is a good way to set them up for success.
It's interesting.
Of like, you are you're modeling the behavior that, you know, kind of the behavior that you want to see. But what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, it's interesting too, because we have the skills. We learn them in opposite order. We learn to play alone, and then we learn parallel play, and then we learn cooperative play. And it's interesting to struggle to go back to individual play. And part of that is because as children get older, so more school age children, like 6 to 8, they struggle to be disengaged from their peers. So they really want, peers become more important before it's adults. And so they really want someone to play with. And that can be really challenging to get them back into that. However, it's a really great skill to have if you can foster that and remind them of how much fun it can be to play alone.
And a thought that I just had is playing, teaching kids with siblings to play alone.
Oh my gosh, so important.
So important, but can be very challenging. So if the house where you nanny is big enough that they can have their own space or room where you can still hear and, I mean, depending on their ages, because there are ones that if they're upstairs and you're downstairs, it's fine. But yes, encouraging them, like, you get to pick which room you want to be in first today and then rotate back and forth between.
I suggest you should do that. You should structure that into your day, because also it's good for them to, it can reduce conflict. If you have a period of your day where we're not all forced to be together. And mm-hmm. they're learning that it's okay to play a part and it's okay to play together.
Right.
And sometimes there are times for both. I think that's a great idea, Martha.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then the other thing with parallel play is often I have found, especially with the younger sibling,
in
several different families, mm-hmm. but the younger sibling seems to struggle with this more, where they ask me to play with them,
mm-hmm.
but then they...
I think I know where this is going as a younger sibling.
Yeah, they don't actually want me to play with them. They want me to play next to them. So mm-hmm. they want to be in charge of how I am playing sure. as well. And so we were actually talking before the podcast started about using that as a signal and calling them on it and saying, yeah. it sounds like you might actually want to play by yourself.
Yeah.
And if you do, then you can be totally in charge of how these Legos are being used. But if you want me to play with you,
then I get to choose some things too.
Yes. Yeah. Then I get to make some choices as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, having that be like a little indicator for, yeah. it sounds like you might need yeah. some individual playtime, which I'm more than happy to give you.
Yeah, I would also say that younger siblings struggle, perhaps part of why they don't want to play alone, even though they do, they don't think they do,
mm-hmm.
Is because a lot of times older siblings are like, leave me alone, I don't want to play with you.
Right.
So playing alone is seen as like a negative thing
yes.
for many younger siblings, because that's how your siblings reject you. It's okay, right. I've let it go. Everything's
happy,
fine.
Though.
I'm not crying, you're crying. But it's important to give them that opportunity. It's like, oh, it seems like you might want to play alone. Do you want to? It's okay to play
right.
alone, because they can assign punishment with playing by themselves.
Yes.
Not from the parents even, just
right.
from the siblings saying like, I don't want to play with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels bad. And so the idea of playing alone becomes a punishment when really it's so, so great. I'm introverted. So I'm like, woo, play alone.
Yeah. Yes, I actually remember as a child, like going over mm-hmm. to houses where I was playing with the older sibling mm-hmm. and they were like, you can't play with us.
Yes.
And me as an only child being like, wait, what?
What does that even mean?
Yeah. I don't understand this dynamic
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
So that's
and being
really
like
interesting.
Left out
yeah.
of things because you're younger. Like I was continually told by my mom, she's like, well, your sister has a friend over right now and they really want to spend time together without you in it. And
right.
I was like, why would they want to do that?
Who would want? Not me.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was harder for me. Although now I love it.
Right.
But my mom, I mean, like my mom did not try to amuse me at home. She was like, well, why don't you play outside for a while? And like, we did a lot of like exploring and those kinds of things or like, mm-hmm. there are lots of toys in your room. Why don't you play with some?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do think though, having a specific time
oh, yeah.
during
so
the
helpful.
Day is so helpful.
Oh yeah.
Because practice,
mm-hmm.
you need to practice mm-hmm. a new skill or an old skill.
Yeah. Right. They talk about like things being count onable,
mm-hmm.
Which means like it helps children to know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can really help if the child feels like playing alone might be a punishment.
Right.
It helps them to know like, oh, this is just the time that we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not in trouble. I'm not in a timeout. That can also be really hard if you're a household that does timeouts because they're like,
yes.
but being alone means that I've done something wrong.
Right.
And to be like, nope, it's just the time that we play by ourselves. I'm
yep.
going to be here. Playing with Legos myself or like reading a book or whatever it is.
Right.
So we're all going to play alone in this time and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I can almost guarantee that the parents will thank you for it.
Yeah.
Because they also would like time when the children amuse themselves.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, anything else?
You also should play alone as a nanny.
Yes,
but
should.
In your own personal life, it gives you a sense of freedom and joy that mm-hmm. I think that you'll find some value out of when you're asking children to do the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And telling them about
yeah.
your experience.
I went to the Botanic Gardens by myself. It was amazing. You know, like whatever
right.
it is. I was just telling Martha, actually, I want to go to the Billy Joel concert. And I was like, I just don't know. Like, maybe I'll just go by myself. And she was like, I actually really love Billy Joel. I was like, come with me.
Yes.
But like, I was willing to go by myself because I love Billy Joel. It sounds
right.
super fun. And it's a way to, I've been to the symphony by myself
mm-hmm.
just because I was like, can't really think of anybody who want to go with me, but I really want to go.
Yes.
So I'm going to. And it helps to foster individuality, which is also really important in siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, wonderful. if you heard this and you feel like we did not address a certain aspect, or you have further questions about something that we've talked about during this episode, or really
suggestions.
Or suggestions of I tried this and it worked super well, mm-hmm. and I would like to share it with the nanny community. Please email them in to Chronicles. Yes, please help us. Because I love something that this podcast has given me that I did not expect is how wonderful the nanny community is.
It's so lovely. I love all the boards, all the nanny boards on Facebook.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of resources out there, which are so nice.
It really is, because it can be such an isolating career mm-hmm. if you let it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of resources to be had.
In your fellow nannies.
In your fellow nannies. Yeah. And two heads work better than one, mm-hmm. and a million heads.
Oh, so much better than two.
Yeah. Yeah. So just know that Katie and I are here for you. If you have something that you want to write in about, we will try our best.
We'd like you to be here for us too.
Yeah. And we'd like for you to be here for us. Which a way to do that is to review this podcast mm-hmm. on iTunes. That is so helpful to getting this out to more people. Mm-hmm. So if you have been listening and you enjoy this podcast and you have 5 minutes in your day, I would love if you would go on iTunes and write a review. And it can be any thoughts that you have. I also am very open to criticism or things that you think that I could do better.
Yeah.
Because I want to make this a resource.
Yeah.
And so any thoughts that you have, I would love if you would write them on iTunes, because that's their algorithm works best with a written review.
Comment, yeah.
Yeah, with a written comment.
Perhaps while the children take play alone time, you can review.
One play alone time, 5 minutes of it. It doesn't take too long.
Yeah.
And that is very helpful to me. So if you wouldn't mind taking time doing that this week, that would be wonderful. and we end each episode with a story or a fun quote from a kid. And Katie has brought one.
I have two, and they have wonderful. To do with playing alone. The second one has a word in it you might not want to hear with children, but first I'll tell the first one.
Okay.
So the first one, it has to do with a little girl I nanny for.
Uh-huh.
And it was like last week, and we had like been playing alone for like 3 weeks, and mm-hmm. her mom and dad are like, how are you doing this? Cause we're like, we're facing some resistance during the weekend, which is also possibly because they are like, it's 2 full days versus 5 full days.
Right.
So they're like, she really wants to be with them. Mm-hmm. But she's like, how are you doing this? And I had created the boredom box, and she had pulled out the Play-Doh. I also had like bought her new Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Go through the supplies, friends, and make sure that they're wanting to be played with.
Right.
And she hadn't played with Play-Doh in a long time. And she was like, oh, this is so great. And we had a shortened amount of playtime that day. And her mom actually happened to come downstairs right as play alone time was ending, because we had to go to swim lessons. And she was like, oh, I just wish I had more time to play alone. And her mom like dropped, like she was like, what just happened right now?
Right.
And she was like, her eyes got huge, and I was like, yes, that's actually what she said. And I was like, good news, when we come back from swim lessons, you can continue to play alone if you would like to.
Right.
Or when you go on your family vacation, you'll have plenty of time to play with Play-Doh. Maybe you should pack that.
Yeah.
It was totally hilarious, because it was like this idea of like, oh, I just wish I had more play alone time. And when we started, she was like, I don't want to play alone. And it's like, it's going to be okay, friend.
You're going to be okay.
And this one, so this is the second story.
That has a word that you might not want to listen to with kids. Little ears around.
Yes,
so.
However, it will become your new catchphrase. I do promise you that.
Wonderful. But if you want to bow out now, or if you personally don't like naughty words.
it's a body part word.
It's a body part word. Okay. Then we will see you next week. But for all of the rest of you, come along on this story journey.
So I was babysitting for these children. There are two of them, and they were both playing alone in the basement. They're pretty good at playing alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit at the top of the stairs to not interfere, but I can still hear them because they're working through conflicts.
Right.
They're close in age, and it's a boy and a girl, and they're not afraid to hit each other. Mm-hmm. So I like to be close by.
Right.
And they're both playing alone, and it was after dinner one night, and I hear the little boy, and he just goes, "What in the penis?" And I was like, what? I was like, well, that's my new catchphrase. What in the penis? And like, he just, like, he didn't know anyone was listening. Right. He was literally just talking to himself. And I texted his parents and I was like, just heard this coming up from the basement. And I was like, that's my new catchphrase. And I also sent it to my boyfriend and he was like, best catchphrase yes. ever. And I was like, yeah, oh yeah. I'm going to make it work. It's going to catch fire.
That's
what in
so
the penis?
What in the penis?
What in the penis?
Yeah.
I just want to know. Like what?
I mean, anything in his the penis dad was so, not great.
His dad was so funny because they were like, knowing him, he might have actually put something in there. And it's like wondering what's in there. And I was like, that's so great. Just that is so hilarious. So
funny.
What in the penis, you guys?
Yeah.
I just want to know.
So, I will start using that as
yes,
well.
We're gonna create a trend. So
we are.
Now you're hip to it, friends. Just don't say it around children.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you want that word every day, every minute on the minute for several months.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Katie.
Yes, you're
this
so
is delightful
welcome.
As always. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.